Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg is on a cross-country roadshow this week, taking questions about what's forecast to be the biggest IPO in internet history, a company valued at $100 billion or more. Billion, yeah, with a B. About two-thirds of America is on Facebook. There are 845 million active users around the world. But our next guest says, hold on, when it comes to that IPO, Facebook and Google, for that matter, might completely disappear in the next 5 years. Not bankrupt gone, but MySpace gone. Eric Jackson is a contributor to Forbes. He's also founder and managing member of the investment firm Iron Fire Capital. He has himself invested in Apple and Yahoo. Eric, welcome.
Thank you.
You know, it seems impossible. Facebook and Google, they're not pets.com. So why do you say they might be gone in 5 years?
Well, it's always a humbling experience to try to kind of put yourself back in time 5 years or 10 years. It's pretty amazing how far off the conventional wisdom in the moment usually is. I remember more than 10 years ago now picking up a newspaper and reading about how AOL was going to buy Time Warner, and this was going to revolutionize our world. And obviously, that vision didn't work out.
Yeah, it did not work out at all. And you also mentioned MySpace. They built a network of people. Originally, they all loved music, but MySpace isn't, you know, where's MySpace? And you talk about generations of, you know, web companies. Go through that.
Well, about 15 years ago, I went to study for a PhD in management, and I was studying the effects of leadership on companies' strategy and performance. And I had this bias that people matter, and if you have the right new kind of strategy, you can overcome any challenge that you face in your competitive environment. And at the time, there was a school of thought, it was mostly sociologists who were called themselves organizational ecologists, who said that whether a company succeeded or not depended on when they were born and what industry they were in. And I kind of scoffed at it at the time, but certainly as I watch what's going on in the internet world, those ideas seem to be more and more relevant. You know, at the time, these academics were looking at things like the steel industry and other industries that really didn't change all that much. And yet in the web world, I think we've lived through three generations already in the past 15 years.
Go through some of those. Web 1.0, a company founded from 1994 to 2001. Which would those be?
These are kind of, you know, the internet pioneers, Yahoo, the original search engines before Google, like Excite and Alta Vista, and they were all about aggregating data. They were the owner of the information. And then around 2002, 2003 or so, we had this Web 2.0, or, you know, now we call them social companies. Facebook's obviously the biggest one in that group. And these companies became interested in tapping into the user's social connections. And then very recently, I think starting in about 2 years ago, we had a new generation, I think, of companies begin in the internet world, which I say are mobile-focused. And these companies only are focused on delivering a service to you on your mobile device. They don't really even think about even having a website anymore.
Okay, so let's take your theory. Oh, actually, it's the theory of these organizational ecologists.
Right.
You've got Google, one of the first generation Web 1.0 companies. And Google's still around. But as we're seeing, now you have the mobile platforms. Google's a lot harder to do on your small handheld smartphone. And instead, you might be talking to Siri.
What's interesting is that these older generations, they can see that the competitive environment is changing, and yet they seem really incapable or ineffective in adjusting to that new environment. Google is great in search, but really has been not great in a social product, you know, including their new Google Plus product.
So Google Plus, that's Google's attempt to do some of the social networking?
Yes. And, you know, and there are examples. I think Apple is probably the best example of a company that does continue to innovate and come up with completely new products that nobody even knew that they wanted. So it is certainly possible, but I think the probabilities are against somebody like a Google and a Facebook.
Well, in fact, you quote Hamish McKenzie saying that he suspects that Facebook will try to break up its various features into separate apps, one for messaging, one for maybe a news feed, one for pictures. But then that fragments what they were, and they're not Facebook.
Right.
And we're talking about whether or not Google or Facebook will adapt to mobile. You point out, forget mobile. It's almost too late for that. The next thing is coming soon.
as crazy as it seems, you know, the pace of change is only increasing. And if you go back and you look at how long Web 1.0 lasted and how long the kind of the social era lasted, you know, it's getting shorter and shorter. So it's going to be even more difficult to really continue to be on top of the industry and on top of their game.
You quote Tim Cook on an earnings call for Apple. He says it took them 2 years to ship out 67 million iPads after the iPad was invented. And to put that in context, it took 24 years to sell that many Macs, over 3 years to sell that many iPhones. So, bam, you know, pretty soon it's going to take one day to sell 67 million of the next new thing.
And the other thing that that speaks to is just that there's always a new thing. And whenever the new thing comes now, we are just a lot more quick to jump all over it. We hear about it faster through Twitter or Facebook, and we want to immediately try it. And if we like it, we're just going to be that much faster to turn our backs on what we, you know, formerly had been using. So, you know, you log into Google every day, but, you know, whether you're going to come back tomorrow just depends whether Google's the best option to get the information that you want or whether there's something else that's better. There's nothing else locking you into going back to Google.
Right. Well, you're not the only one with concerns. Jeff Cox of CNBC writes about other companies that have deflated after IPOs, Zynga, Groupon, Pandora. And I'm just wondering, yes, you know, there are millions of users, but how many ads can you slap on Facebook? How much can you charge, you know, if those users drop off to achieve this 100 billion promise? You know, that's how much the IPO is expected to be.
Yeah, in fact, I think it's going to be more than that. It wouldn't surprise me if in the first few days after it goes up to 150 billion, because I think people are just so gaga for the new hot tech story. And Facebook certainly is right now. But I think you put your finger on, there are one of two real concerns about this company. One, are you really going to be able to sell the number of ads as much as Facebook is insisting that they will be? And two, what are they going to do in the mobile world? Because right now they're losing money every time a user accesses Facebook via a mobile device. They make all their money from sort of the desktop PC way of logging into Facebook. So there are big uncertainties hanging over this company.
Well, you've just in a very small way offset the hype, you know, because there's still a heck of a lot of hype. Eric Jackson, a contributor to Forbes magazine, also founder and managing member of the investment firm Ironfire Capital. Eric, thanks so much.
Thank you.